Srimad Bhagavatam, third canto, chapter 8, entitled Manifestation of Brahma from Vishnu, text number 20. Tamasya pare viduratma sargam
Tamasya pare viduratma sargam
Vichinvato bhutsumaham strineme
Vichinvato bhutsumaham strineme
Yudeha bhajam vayamirayana
Yudeha bhajam vayamirayana
Parikshino cha yuga jasya ete O Vidura, while searching in that way, about his existence, Brahma reached his ultimate time, which is the eternal wheel in the hand of Vishnu, and which generates fear in the mind of the living entity, like the fear of death. No problems. Text 21. Tato nivritto pratilabdha kama svadishnam nasajya punasadeva Sane jita swasane dritta chito nyasi dat arura samadhi yoga. Translation. Thereafter, being unable to achieve the desired destination, he retired from such searching and came back again to the top of the lotus. Thus controlling all objectives, he concentrated his mind on the Supreme Lord. Purport. Samadhi involves concentrating the mind upon the supreme cause of all, even if one is unaware of whether its actual nature is personal, impersonal, or localized. Concentration of the mind on the supreme is certainly a form of devotional service. To cease from personal sense endeavors and to concentrate on the supreme cause is a sign of self-surrender. And when self-surrender is present, that is a sure sign of devotional service. Each and every living entity needs to engage in devotional service to the Lord if he wishes to understand the ultimate cause of his existence. Ukam karati vachalam pangam langayati rin kripatamaham vande sikrum dinatarya panchatattvamakam krishnam bhaktarupasrutakam bhaktavataram bhaktakyam namam Sri Krishna Chaitanya Paramichananda Sri Advaita Gaudiya Sri Vasati Gaurava Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare So the state of Samadhi, which involves concentrating the mind always upon the supreme cause of all, the supreme personality of Godhead. It is in this material world considered to be a highly exceptional state. It is very rare that we hear that a devotee attains that state of samadhi, of being deeply, deeply absorbed in contemplation on the Supreme Lord. But in the spiritual world, samadhi is the normal state of consciousness. And therefore, samadhi actually is the real consciousness. It is the consciousness when we become free from the influence of the material energy. Then automatically, samadhi becomes manifest. Iha yasya harir dasyo manasa. If we somehow or other engage in the devotional service of Krishna, then samadhi comes automatically. It's not like that we have to conquer the material energy by our power, that we have to push ourselves up. Actually, Krishna is all attractive, but somehow or other, under the present circumstances, it doesn't really work, just like it is said when a piece of iron is covered by rust, then a magnet
is not really working very well. So, in the same way, because we've become rusty, we are simply not so much attracted to Krishna and very much attracted to Maya. But the process of pure devotional service, Chetu Darpanam Marjanam Bhavamahana Bhakti Nirvapanam, purifies the heart of this covering of impurities, and then Samadhi will again manifest. So, therefore, we should have no doubt. It is not that we should worry about will we ever be successful. We will surely be successful. Everyone will definitely be successful in spiritual life if we simply apply ourselves to the process of purification. So today is a day which is in the main theme of the day is purification. It is purification for all, because when we go into a ritualistic performance of Vyasa Puja, then everyone involved is being purified. For those who are worshipping, they are making a special endeavor, a great endeavor, and they are committing themselves. We are all looking at our commitment. The spiritual master is also looking at his commitment, at his responsibility, because although we know that we are having a great responsibility, that people's spiritual lives depend on us, still on such a day when we are being confronted with the presence of all the devotees, then we realize even stronger, even more freshly, what kind of responsibility we have. Somehow or other, this responsibility is part of spiritual life. Because the basic principle of spiritual life is empowerment. Everyone becomes empowered. Every single person here in this room has been empowered. We are not at all ordinary people. I think we remember this bhajan of Bhaktivinoda Thakur called the Kalyana Kalpataru, the auspicious desire tree, which says that my spiritual master gave me this auspicious desire tree of devotional service. And by this great gift of this desire tree, I have been tremendously blessed. However, due to my false ego, my impurities, my harsh mind, the full glory of this desire tree is now not manifest. But I'm looking for the association of the devotees, because they are the caretakers of the Bhakti Kalpataru, the desire tree of devotional service. And in their association, that tree can be revived to its full glory. So, we all have been empowered. Every single devotee is invested with transcendental energy. It is not that anybody is ordinary. It is not that merely the spiritual master is somehow or other invested with transcendental energy, and he is the via media of Krishna, and somehow or other Krishna works to a chosen one. It is not only that, because everyone is chosen by Krishna, and everyone has become the instrument of Krishna, and the mercy of Krishna is flowing through us. Therefore, yare dekhit tare kaha Krishna upadesh, amar agyaye guru haye tare idesh. Therefore, this famous verse, whomever you meet, instruct them, or reveal to them the instructions of Krishna. Instruct them about Krishna, or reveal to them the instructions revealed by Krishna. In this way, become a spiritual master, and deliver the entire country or the entire world. So everyone can do so. Everyone can be an agent of mercy. It is a fact. A Vaishnava automatically becomes an agent of mercy. That is the nature of one who follows four regulative principles. So the empowerment immediately begins. As soon as one says, yes, Krishna, today I'm yours, the empowerment starts. At that point, we are no longer ordinary persons. And we have transcendental power. We can bless. We can actually uplift people. Simply by being in the presence of a devotee, immediately, everything has changed. Simply the very fact that there are devotees on the planet has changed the destiny of the entire planet. I have not read, but recently in South Africa, I heard one senior devotee say that Srila Prabhupada said that if there would be no devotees on the planet, there would be no more grass left on the entire planet. Yeah? Things like that. Yeah? The whole planet would be a desert by now. Yeah? It's amazing. We don't think like that. But the whole world is being purified by the devotees. The devotees are very, very powerful. Even the children, when they are riding on their little plastic bikes or whatever they have, are purifying the three worlds. Everywhere. At every step, a devotee is purifying the world. That is a fact. Anyone who's chanting Hare Krishna. Although we are not considering ourselves very pure. And that is the mystery. Because we see ourselves as not pure at all. And yet, somehow or other, we are invested with the power to purify. Yeah? By Krishna. This is the empowerment. So in the same way, a spiritual master is looking upon himself. He's not considering himself pure at all. He is simply thinking that somehow or other, I am an object of mercy. And somehow or other, I have received this transcendental desire tree of devotional service. And somehow or other, I could have looked after it better. But still, it's so powerful that still it can produce great fruits and still benedict everyone very much. Therefore, I have no qualification. In fact, I am the obstacle. But let's try to leave myself out of the picture. Let us try to not focus on me, on who I am, but let's simply concentrate on the Supreme Lord. Not just on a picture of Krishna, but on the will of Krishna, on the instructions of Krishna, on the process of devotional service to Krishna, and let somehow or other faithfully dedicate our lives to repeating whatever Krishna taught. Then one can deliver the goods. Simply then. We don't have to spend years and years looking at ourselves with a microscope and check our heart and dissect it and look at it. And are there any anarthas left? Oh, I'm so full of anarthas. Oh, I'm so fallen. Oh, I'm so contaminated. All right, after the self-indulgence is over, can we maybe get to Krishna? Or how many years are we going to spend, you know, like saying, I am so fallen, I'm so contaminated. Me and my false ego, and the next picture is my false ego and me. And then a picture, me and my false ego on the mountain. Me and my false ego on book distribution. Me and my false ego, right? And there's a big album, right? And there's always these two, right? But maybe, false ego or no false ego, put it in the corner, park it, right, somewhere, and just get to Krishna, get to Krishna's instructions, Krishna's desires, Krishna's wish, Krishna's explanations, Krishna's words, Krishna's devotees, Krishna's pure devotees, like here in Srimad Bhagavatam. And let us just think of Krishna. And the more we do so, the more we become empowered by transcendental energy. And the more everything else disappears in the background. We saw that it is described how even Lord Brahma at one point made a mistake, became bewildered by the illusory energy, and became bewildered by the form of his daughter. We do not want to enter into this pastime very deeply today, but we just want to highlight the point that in principle the jiva is always prone to bewilderment. The jiva by nature is prone to the illusory energy, and even the topmost jiva in the entire universe, Lord Brahma, became bewildered for a moment. But his devotional service saved him, because he had done so much devotional service to the Supreme Lord. The Supreme Lord saved him. He saved him. So we can spend days, months, years, lifetimes studying ourselves and trying to improve ourselves, and maybe find that still we're not doing very good. Especially in this age of Kali, what can we expect? This is not the age that we have many great personal qualities. But somehow or other, we must take shelter. It is really a matter of taking shelter. Therefore, humility is the key. Humility is what we require. Because when there's humility, then we can always put ourselves in the background. And then we can, whatever is going on with us, say, well, that's not so important, I'm just insignificant. And therefore everything about me is insignificant, but Krishna is important. Everything about Krishna is very important. And in that way, Krishna comes in the foreground. And that is the state of consciousness that we need. So, it's not so easy. It's not so easy to develop humility. We know that. But by endeavoring again and again, by reminding ourselves again and again, more and more, all these qualities become manifest. By reminding ourselves that we are the servant of Krishna, we can gradually do it. More and more. And in this way, pure devotional service comes about. Quiet. And then, I'm thinking that, and then there's the mercy of Lord Chaitanya. Today I'm sitting here, as a person who is very much dependent on the mercy of Lord Chaitanya. It's because I believe in the mercy of Lord Chaitanya that I'm somehow or other doing this. Because I'm sure that Lord Chaitanya will carry us and will uplift us. And therefore, I became bold. And I said, all right, let's go forward. And let's do such a wild thing as taking sannyas. Right? It's wild, in a way. Right? And I must admit, when I was sitting now 9 years ago, in the sacrificial arena in the Bhaktivedanta Manor. It's only a few days from now, because it was the day before Aksai Tritiya, and that's coming up next week. So, 9 years, almost 9 years, few days less, that I took sannyas. And I must say, when I was sitting in that sacrifice, for a moment I thought, do you know what you're doing? Why are you doing this? Why are you always making it difficult for yourself? What is this, you know? Can't you just be normal? I was thinking. And I was thinking, I mean, why are you doing, you don't have to do this. I think anyway, a bit too late now. My false ego didn't allow me to stand up and walk away. So I was stuck and had to go through with it. And then, of course, immediately after taking sannyas, what could I say? Things had changed. There was a television crew present from the BBC, and they interviewed me, and they immediately asked if I felt any different. And of course you feel different. Just like someone who just got married, you know, you can ask the man, and do you feel any different now? Yeah, I do. A lot. And you look the same, but I feel different. Why? Because now there's the responsibility. So one feels different, one feels immediately the weight of the responsibility. And then the interviewers asked, so, well, so how is it to be a sannyasi? And I said, well, you know, there are many people in the world, they think that they are the number one. Like the president of the United States, he's thinking, I am the number one man in the entire world. Yeah? He's thinking like that, I'm the president of the United States, number one. He must be thinking it all the time, number one. He's brushing his teeth, number one. Okay? He's number one fool. Then, the brahmanas in India, when they look upon this president, they're thinking that he is the most degraded person. At that time, when I took sannyas, there was Ford was the president. And Ford's favorite snacks was dried pigskin chips. Not potato chips, but dried pigskin chips. That's his favorite, was his favorite snack. That you can see. A total malecha, right? So by the standards of the brahmanas, an untouchable, right? The lowest. A total low class man. So the brahmanas in Benares, thinking that they are actually the number one. They are brahmanas. They are number one. And in this way, everyone is thinking that they're number one. So I was telling this on the TV and said, I said, but the truth of the matter is that I am number one. He said, because, I said, I've got the best position in the whole world. Nobody has a better position than me. The position of a sannyasi is the best position you can have. Best position, most favorable for making spiritual advancement. And the interviewer said, I think you're right. The camera zoomed in. I saw it. It was good. It was good. Then I went by boat from England to France, and then so as I was on the boat, I was remembering Bhagavad Gita. Apuryamanam achala pratistam apasamudra pravisanti yatvatkama yatpravisanti sarve sasanti abnuti nakama kami. Which is that verse that describes how the rivers are flowing into the ocean. And how all the water of the rivers is not affecting the ocean. And that because the ocean is so full, that all these material things, all the rivers cannot affect you. In the same way, when the mind is so full of Krishna, so full of Krishna, then all the material things cannot affect us. So I was remembering that verse and reciting it again and again, because I was thinking, now I have to be full of Krishna. Now I have to be in samadhi. Yeah? Otherwise, how will I be able to do this? How else? So I was meditating on this goal and understood that to be full of Krishna, one must be absorbed in Sravanam Kirtana, in hearing and chanting. And then, as soon as I was a sannyasi, immediately many ISKCON leaders thought, great, great, now he can be GBC for many countries. Yeah? And there was like an offer a week, you know, once a week somebody would ring me up and, why don't you become GBC of this country and that country, and always the impossible ones, like France, something like that. You know? But Jaya Dvaita Maharaj, my very kind and merciful spiritual master, who really is the one behind everything, he is here today in a way behind the screens, he told me, forget it. Yeah? Forget it. Why would you want to do that? Why would you want to be a GBC, right? I mean, and take the hate of everybody. What do you gain with that, right? I'm such a fool that I might do such things, but my spiritual master is very intelligent and he saves me from time to time. So that's Krishna's arrangement. It's very, very nice. When I first wanted to take sannyas, everyone in ISKCON, all the sannyasis and all the leaders were telling me, forget it, right? Just stay married. Or said, but I'm not married anymore, I'm a vanaprastha. Then somebody said, you can stay a brahmachari. I'm not a brahmachari, that's ridiculous. Right? Anyway, whatever, you can stay something, but forget sannyas, they said. But when I said to Jaya Dvaita Maharaj that I was interested in taking sannyas, he immediately said, oh. And not so much more, but he noted it. Oh, okay. And then, from one thing came another. A few years later, they once again wanted me to be a GBC for France, and I was in Mayapur. They always want me to be a GBC for France, seems to be. And I don't want to. I'm so sorry for France, for excusing one. They sent Parangati Maharaj to Jayadvaita Maharaj to ask him, and Maharaj simply gave a one-word answer, no, and nothing else, no explanation, no excuse, just no. And they got the message. And then after that, I was going to talk to him about it, and then he said, no, I want to talk to you about something else. And then he told me, like, that actually I've been discussing this with many leaders in ISKCON now, and many are quite supportive, and he mentioned Satsarupa Maharaj, he mentioned Bhakti Charu Maharaj, and he said, yes, he said, Radhanath Maharaj, I spoke with all of them, and he said, I think you should become an initiating spiritual master. I was thinking, like, well, you know, being very practical myself, you know, my nature is super practical, what can I do? I immediately thought, like, well, that's very nice, but, you know, it's not going to work. Yeah? Because, so that's okay, but ISKCON's not going to buy into that. Yeah? That's out of the question. Yeah? So, and number two, I also thought, like, well, anyway, who am I, you know, for something like that? He said, no, I know that ISKCON will not accept it, but I have a plan. And he also said that, I know that you may think you're not qualified. He said, but I think in order to push on the Sankirtan mission, I think we should go ahead. And then he basically showed his plan, and his plan was, well, since they will not accept it, you can initiate on my behalf. And technically, they will be my disciples, but I put them under your care. In fact, I may not even know them personally, and you do everything, and you can take the worship, and you can do the whole thing, and I will just be in the background. And he said like that, which basically is something like what Srila Prabhupada did at the end of his life, Ritvik. So, something like that was going on, and Srila Prabhupada wrote a letter on the 9th of July, announcing that he was going to do this this Ritvik program. And then, my spiritual master, His Holiness Jayadvaita Maharaj, wrote a letter on the 9th of July. And he started it the same as Prabhupada did. Prabhupada's letter was henceforth, and these can now initiate on my behalf. And he wrote exactly the same. Henceforth, Kadamba Kalana Swami can initiate on my behalf. It was a total... well, I knew that not everyone would like that letter. And I also didn't like it so much. But somehow or other, my spiritual master wanted to have some fun. And he was playing a game, and I was the ball in that game. And generally speaking, I don't like to be ball, I want to be player. I always want to play. But this time, my part was to play the ball. So it was very difficult to play the ball. It wasn't easy at all. Because my role was basically, let him kick me around, and I had to just say, I don't know, talk to him. Which is difficult for me, because by nature, I want to talk myself. So I had to, really, okay. I don't know. But it worked really well. It worked amazingly well. Because after some time, the GBC chairman came, and, we happened to be together, and he said to Jayadvaita Maharaj and myself, and he said that, well, you can't do this. Jayadvaita Maharaj said, oh, I see. He said, yes, you can't do this. This is against the GBC law. And so Jayadvaita Maharaj said, well, against which law? Could you tell me which law it is against? And then, he said, which law do you want me to follow? The written law or the unwritten law? And then they didn't know what to say anymore. And they left. So in this way the whole thing became a big discussion, and then they allowed it for a while, but they still didn't like it. And then in next Mayapur meetings they changed the law and made it that the disciples of gurus who are still present, they may also initiate upon the order of their spiritual master. So, somehow or other, I'm not here because of my own qualification. I don't see it like that. I am here because of the extraordinary broad-mindedness of my spiritual master. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had this mood of Namo Maha Vananyaya. He is the most magnanimous. And my spiritual master is very magnanimous. A very magnanimous person. Not everybody knows that. But that is the fact of the matter. A highly broad-minded person. And therefore, he saw that something is stagnated in our movement. And if we don't empower people, if we don't give people the opportunity to rise towards to the platform, it will never happen. This movement will not spread. Because he thoroughly understood an essential principle of the Sankirtan movement of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita we are reading how there is Mali Chaitanya, the gardener, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and that the gardener, Sri Chaitanya, is growing fruits on the tree, on the Bhakti Kalpataru, on the tree, on the desire tree of Bhakti, and how the fruits of love of God are just coming on all the branches. And he's saying, I'm just one gardener, how will I deal with all these fruits? How can I distribute them alone? Therefore, I order every man in the universe to take up this mission and to take these fruits and to freely distribute them everywhere. So, this is the principle of empowerment. How Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was empowering others to do it. He could have done it himself. He's the Supreme Lord. He's unlimitedly powerful. He can distribute the fruits all alone. But no, the whole principle of the Sangita movement is empowerment, to let others do. If we do everything ourselves and everyone else is sitting and watching, that's not the principle. It's to let others do. This is the principle of empowerment. So my spiritual master, in this mood of empowerment, gave me this opportunity to come up to this to the platform. And suddenly I realized that, boy, it's getting serious. Because first I joined and I was a Kanista Adhikari, and what else was I supposed to be? A neophyte devotee, a Kanista. What else was I meant to be? Nothing else was to be expected. I was just initiated, naturally a Kanista, trying to become a Madhyam, trying to become the Madhyam intermediate devotee, striving for it. So it's a great goal to strive to become a Madhyam Adhikari. But then, sannyasi, well, my God, can no longer strive, have to at least be on the Madhyam Adhikari platform, at least. So suddenly it was no longer striving, had to be there. But even for a sannyasi, it is known to be the pre-paramahansa ashram. So one must really come to the paramahansa stage, the topmost stage. But when one is taking the responsibility of the spiritual master, then what else is left? Then it must be Krishna and Krishna and Krishna only, and nothing but Krishna. Then it must be smartavyam satatam vishnor smartavyam adantu sit, to always remember Krishna, to never forget him. No longer as some sort of goal, right? Generally when we recite this verse, vismartavyo najatu sid, yes, this is the goal, that maybe one day we'll come to this point that we'll always remember Krishna. But a spiritual master is meant to be there, is meant to live that, is meant to live in that. It's a growing process. The purification goes on. We go deeper and deeper. But this is now my principal meditation. Therefore, I think it's Krishna's arrangement that this verse on samadhi is coming up today. That this topic of samadhi is really being brought up. Because samadhi has to be there. But mind you, the responsibility is not only on my shoulders, not at all. Because I am putting it on yours. Right? Because I may have no excuse. Right? I may have no excuse. I should be in samadhi. Right? But you have no excuse either. You should be in samadhi as well. No excuse. Right? You cannot come up with this excuse, that excuse. I know there's a whole list that we can think of. And all these excuses are not valid. Right? Not valid. We too have to be in samadhi. And life, let's see what life will bring. I'm going late. Let's see what life will bring. I don't know what life will bring, but one thing I know for sure, life will not bring what we want. That I know. That I know for sure. We're not going to get what we want. Sometimes a little bit. And they say, oh, I'm so satisfied. Oh, I'm getting it. All these nice things. Always wanted this. And now I'm getting it. No, no, just wait a while. Just wait a while. We will not get what we want. That's life. And therefore, okay, whatever we get, that's fine. But let's get on with it. Let's take advantage. Let's really take advantage of this life. I must say, I am now accepting disciples, and then so I'm collecting disciples, right? Yes, here I am, you know, canvassing, trying to talk people into becoming my disciples, checking them out, interested, maybe, yes. I don't have a form, etc., like some spiritual masters work with forms and so on. I don't work with forms, but still, I'm also testing people out to see who is interested in being a disciple. Yeah. That's a fact. Every spiritual master will do that. But I'm not collecting disciples for to increase the glory of Kadambakananda Swami. Because the glory of Kadambakananda Swami, I don't know. I don't know. I don't think he's so glorious. Right? I don't think he's so glorious at all. But somehow or other, his glory is that he got mercy. Right? The only glory that I have is that I don't know why. I don't know why me. I don't know why I was allowed to stay so long in the holy downs, but it was special mercy. It really was. And I don't know why I was allowed to do some really serious service, right? Like finishing Srila Prabhupada Samadhi in Mayapur. I mean, that was big. That was real. That was not just a small thing. It was like something that really needed to be done, and the thing, it was the unfinishable building, right? That it was impossible to finish that building somehow or other, and Krishna gave me the opportunity to do it and to get it moving. Right? So that was very, very nice that I was allowed to do it. Somehow or other, I was allowed to do so much service in Vrindavan, to grow up in Vrindavan, and later to become president of Vrindavan. There were many temple presidents in our temple in Vrindavan, but none of them grew up in Vrindavan. And therefore, nobody knew what I knew. Like, I knew the secret water line between the Gurukul building and the guest house. Nobody knew it. But because I was a new bhakta in that temple and I cleaned everything, right, from top to bottom, I knew everything. Right? I fixed every light switch in that project, right, and so on. So, therefore, somehow or other, I got the good fortune of becoming responsible for Vrindavan. Right? It doesn't matter that I'm not temple president now for Vrindavan, right? That doesn't matter at all. But I'm still responsible. I'm still responsible because I know. I know everything. I know. And I know more about Vrindavan than many other people, about the management of it, and therefore I'm responsible. I will always be responsible. As long as I live, I will be responsible. Yeah. So, that's my great fortune. Because in that, I got someone's mercy. So I don't know why I got all that. It's just, I got some mercy. Yeah. And that mercy was very purifying. I got that. Then I got, being in Vrindavan, I got the association of all these con leaders. Yeah? It's different than living somewhere in a little temple in a corner of the world. I lived in the center of ISKCON, and so many ISKCON leaders came. And I had the good fortune that I always was in charge of something. So I could serve them prasadam or something like that. One time, just before serving, I spilled dal over my kurta, and I didn't have any other one, so I just took a chadar and put on the chadar, and as I served, Bhagavan said, we didn't come all this way to smell your bodily odors. So it wasn't always easy. It wasn't always easy. But somehow or other, I got that mercy of being, of getting the association of ISKCON's leaders. And I could see all these sannyasis are very special. I was in charge of the festival in Vrindavan, and I had the task to collect the festival fees. Not the ordinary ones, but the tough cases. And whoever didn't want to pay, I had to deal with them. And then the sannyasi who was in charge of Spain, Kesava Bharati Maharaj, he came. And he just fell flat on the ground and grabbed my feet. And he said, have mercy. It was tough. So me also, flat on the ground. And then I charged him. What could I do? I gave him a little discount, not much. Somehow or other, what to do? It wasn't easy, but in the course of it, I got the association of so many senior devotees. That was a lot of mercy, and I got to take a lot of responsibility. And in Vrindavan is sort of everybody's temple, right? And therefore all the leaders, all the big leaders of ISKCON, they all felt they were in charge. Yeah? They were not in charge, but they didn't care. They were acting as if they were, and they were ordering me around. I had just a big festival, I had arranged everything, and Tamal Krishna Maharaj walks in and says, no, it's all wrong, it all has to change. And I go, Maharaj, it's too late. He says, no, it has to change. And then he went around telling everyone, don't you think it should change? Don't you think it should be different? And I had to tell Maharaj, please stop making politics. So over the years, I had to deal with many senior leaders, and somehow or other I grew up. And in this way, all this mercy upon me brought me to where I am today. I don't know why I got it, but I got it. And when I took sannyas and got that, yes, that was again a whole different thing. And now here, today, I'm sitting here as a spiritual master. So, somehow or other, I got the mercy. That's all I can say. It has nothing to do with my qualifications. I was not a special new bhakta. I looked several times. And in the beginning, I kept on leaving because I found it very difficult. I found it difficult to live with devotees. I found it difficult to accept authority. I found it difficult to follow the four regulative principles. All these things I found difficult. I escaped a few times. I cannot advise you to do that. This was very risky. But again, I got mercy. One time I left, and I thought, this time I'm fed up with it, I'm really leaving. But there was one devotee that I had a lot of respect for. And this devotee, after I left, he went to fast. Somebody rang me up and said, this devotee has declared that he will not eat until you come back. And then, so I sort of, via, I didn't ask directly, but I had someone else check it out for me, if he was really fasting. And he was really fasting. So, I didn't fast for 3 days. After 3 days, I thought, it's getting okay, I'll go back. So, and that devotee was in a black body. His name is Mahavirya. I don't know exactly what he's doing these days, but he saved me. He really He saved me. After that, he trained me up. And he immediately said, you know, 16 rounds is really the minimum. It's better you train a few more. So he had me on some extra rounds, had me on getting up early. He made me every day recite a chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Sanskrit, in the verses. And actually all the things I learned from him then are valuable for me now. Those things are still standing for me now as good things. From time to time, you know, I gave it up many times, chanting a chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Sanskrit and verse, and English translation every day. I gave it up many times, but I also started again many times. And every time I started again, I got some strength from that, actually. It was always a source of strength. So he gave me that gift. And the extra rounds, always a gift. And the emphasis on rising early. He really, like, not early 4 o'clock, not early quarter to 4, but early. And he always stressed that. Whenever I took to that, yeah, or whenever I take to that, it's not always possible. But whenever I take to rising early, I always get strength. So he really gave me some gifts by which I got strength. And I'm paying him back in Africa. I'm paying him back now by preaching in Africa. Because without him, I wouldn't be here today. So somehow or other, by the mercy of the devotees, the mercy of Lord Chaitanya, by the mercy of my spiritual masters, by the mercy of this movement, I am here, and I became what I became. And now I'm trying to improve. I'm trying to purify myself and to develop more saintly qualities. I'm working on that. And the main way I'm trying to do it is I'm trying to focus on Krishna. In my life, I'm basically balancing three things. I'm balancing the preaching mission, and I'm balancing my personal spiritual life, my relationship with Krishna, my service to Krishna, the meditation on Krishna, and I'm balancing my physical and mental well-being. And these three elements I have to have. If there is like three balls I'm juggling, and if I leave out one ball, immediately trouble. If I don't take care of the personal physical well-being, which that ball I don't like, I've always hated looking after your health. God, do I hate it. But I promise again to do something, and I've started today with yoga exercises. Yes, once again, started many times, stopped many times, but I'm also promising to be a good guy. And I was thinking, I really have to live a little longer, and I owe it to all these devotees that I look after this body. So, okay, I'm going to do my best. And yes, the preaching, there's no end to it. ISKCON is like, has an unlimited need, and the world is huge, and there's no end to how much preaching there is that we can do. And I want to make a contribution. I'm not the biggest, I'm not the most expert. I mean, if I look at some of these other preachers, like in the Jumna Maharaj, big, just everybody knows he's big. I'm just a small timer at building it up, building up something. And one day, see, we cannot preach on our own. Preaching means we have to work through other people. In my first service in Vrindavan, I became the restaurant manager, and I did everything myself, everything. I was running around from morning to night, and I was just doing everything. And whenever Okay, there were a few people. Bhakti Vijayapurna Maharaj was the cook, right? And he would talk and talk, and you know, like he can give long lectures, longer than me. Of course, today I'm giving a long one, but he can give long lectures, and he would give long lectures, you know, and I would try to like cooking and try to slow down. And then I had like another sannyasi, Bhakti Vaidurya Madhav Maharaj, who later, well, stopped, gave up his sannyas, but he was also one of my cooks. He was the chapati cook. And one day I called down 100 chapatis. He was always exhausted, and I always found him sleeping somewhere, and I called down 100 chapatis. I had 25 people walking in the restaurant, 100 chapatis. And the chapatis didn't come. And the kitchen was down, and I called down, chapatis, chapatis, any chapatis? Where are the chapatis? And then suddenly the door flew open, and there my chapati cook flew out. And on his finger, he had made from chapati dough the head of a joker. And he put it under my nose. And he said, no chapatis. And I was looking like, what? What? And no chapatis, because the cook has quit. and he put the joker under my nose. So I got a lot of mercy from a lot of devotees. They trained me up in so many ways, you know, to be transcendental. So I'm highly indebted here today from whatever I've been allowed to do in this movement, all the devotees that have kindly given me their attention, and also Krishna gave me some personal attention when I got shot in the back, and that really was some personal attention. Yeah? I mean, Krishna now personally was making some special arrangements for you. That was also kind of you, my lord. Of course, that kind of kindness we cannot handle too much. So all these things, simply mercy, simply lots of mercy. So whatever it is, we are all in the position where we are, and whenever our superiors take us to another position, okay, we accept it. So somehow or other like that, I'm here today, placed by my superiors, and as such, I'm here now as a bona fide spiritual master, because my spiritual master has made me bona fide. I don't think I was so bona fide, but he made me bona fide, and he desires me to be bona fide, and now I desire to be more bona fide. And that is now the mission of my life. And now I feel also that I have a great debt to you all, to deliver the goods. Yeah. Somehow or other, I have the debt to you that I have to deliver the goods. So today also for me means a day that I will make a renewed endeavor. I was already endeavoring, but still, I'm going to try harder. Just like even doing yoga. Oh, God. It's like probably if I can make a list of the three things I hate the most, yoga is definitely there. Right? But I'm going to do it. Or any exercise. Right? But I'm going to do it. So I have my debt to you. Without a doubt, because you have given yourself in surrender, and therefore it is my duty to give you Krishna, to give you Krishna Upadesh, and that and I have to become a better instrument to do so. At the same time, you also can use this day for your purification, for increasing your commitment.
And therefore I think it's important that we took the trouble of coming here and going through all to the whole function today. And I think we should just let it happen and try and get into the mood of committing ourselves deeper to being a servant. So that's what I had to say. I know I took a little more time. Actually, the kirtan took more time, not so much that much. A little bit. So 5 minutes for questions and then I'll stop. And if there are no questions, okay.
I spoke also about Chad Wiedemarisch, and I was thinking, so what is like exactly our relationship or our connection to Chad Wiedemarisch?
That's a very good question. What is the relationship that we are having to my spiritual master, Om Vishnu Paramahamsa Parivati Vachaya Stutra Satasi Siva? Sripad Jaya Advaita Swami Maharaj, to use his full title for once. He is the Param Guru of my spiritual master. According to the Krishna Bhajanamrita of Narahari Shankar, one should offer double the respect to the Param Guru than one was offering to the spiritual master. So he must be treated with great respect. Furthermore, he is, well, Srila Prabhupada definitely in the guru-disciple relationship sometimes introduced the parallel with the family relationship. And he would write to his disciples, my dear spiritual sons and daughters, and also speak of grand disciples and so on. And Prabhupada also stated that the grandfather is even more merciful than the father. He's more inclined to be merciful. So there is no doubt that Srila Jayadvaita Maharaj, my spiritual master, is very, very merciful, very soft-hearted, although he's very strict. Yeah? I mean, you never get away with anything in front of him. Nothing. Right? Not an inch. Right? Not a millimeter. Yeah? He catches everything. It is just like Tulsi Das. He was mentioning to me,
where's Tulsi?
There, over there. He was mentioning he was serving Jayadvaita Maharaj for a little bit in Mayapur, short while, maybe a few days. And then, at the end of the few days, he said, please forgive me for my mistakes and my offenses. And my spiritual master said, offenses? You didn't make any, but mistakes you did. But I forgive you. So it's not like, you know, say, nah, it's okay, you know, nah, there were no mistakes. No, no, you don't get away with any mistake. Right? Boy, you lose one sock in the washing. Oh my God, one sock. Ay, 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 ay. That's not light. That's not an ordinary sock. That is a transcendental sock. That is a sock of the spiritual master, and it's become the symbol of that you have not been attentive. Not been attentive in the service to the spiritual master. It is the symbol of your inattentive chanting of the holy name. It is the symbol of that you are simply inattentive, that you are just meditating your own sense gratification, and that you are not a dedicated servant. One lost sock. Okay? But on the other hand, so kind, so much ready to go out of his way for one person. I saw him travel 1,000 kilometers just to please one person who said, please come. Yeah. Yeah. Take so much trouble just for one person. I saw him being totally generous all the time. You know, I saw after I got sannyas, I went around, you know, like collecting, and you get good donations, you know, when you have just taken sannyas. It's more than the ordinary. So I got a big fat wad of pounds, because in England, you know. So I gave it all to Jayadvaita Maharaj, who immediately put it in an envelope, right?
and said, please give. And he took what he initiated, two other devotees, all the money put in one effort, said, please give to Shiv Ram Maharaj, because he had been the priest, and gave it all to him. So many times I've seen him get donations from a temple for his travel, and it goes straight, boom, back in the donation box. Yeah? So many times. Very, very detached, not interested, you know, in himself. Very generous. Very generous person, actually. Very, very, very generous. Really, if anyone has that spirit of Namo Mahavandanyaya, of being like most magnanimous, then it is my spiritual master. So you're lucky. You're really lucky, because you know, for the price of one, you got two. So spiritual masters are on sale, right? And you just got a bonus, right? You get. Of course, it is not necessary that you develop an active relationship with my spiritual master. He never wanted so much to be a spiritual master, and somehow or other, for me, he made the exception. Then there were a few others that slipped in through the open door, and then he closed it. He doesn't really want to initiate. But, and he always said that, like, well, you know, I don't need to be involved, right? But then, this year, in Mayapur, right, somehow or other, he was there, I was there, many of my disciples were there, and then, yeah, it was his Vyasa Puja, right, which is in Kartik. So then we had a Vyasa Puja ceremony, and I was the only disciple in the whole thing, and everyone else was grand disciples. So it was a grandfather type of Vyasa Puja. Yeah? And it was very nice, actually. It was very nice. Those who were there, they were fortunate, yeah? Because they developed some relationship. And actually, although he says sometimes he doesn't want to, he's quite nice to my disciples, actually. So if you get the opportunity to do a little seva, that will be nice. That will actually be nice. Because you get a lot of mercy. But even if you do not have an active relationship, there is a difference. There is a difference between, for my disciples, there is a difference between any sannyasi and my spiritual master, Srila Jaya Maharaj. And the difference is this, is that for my disciples, I am meant to be taken as absolute. Whatever I say is to be taken as absolute. My instructions are absolute instructions. That is the nature of the Guru Parampara. And for me, my spiritual master is absolute. So how could he not be absolute for you? Right? Therefore, other leaders in ISKCON, other great sannyasis, you may take the instructions and you may think that is very nice what they say, and I'll think about it. And then I'll decide if I agree with it or not. Right? But when my spiritual master sets a standard, right, you cannot take it like that. You have to take it, okay, this is it. This is the absolute truth. You have to take him as absolute. So that is the unique relationship that my disciples have with their Param Guru, whether they have an active relationship or not. But don't worry, you are not a loser. You are simply getting more mercy. Really, if you look at it. You're simply getting more mercy. And just as I'm here today, simply because of all that mercy, my own lecture was a, sort of a description of how I got so much mercy. Of course, I didn't cover everything, but I just sort of gave an idea. And in the same way, all of you are getting so much mercy, and all that mercy will really produce wonderful results. And therefore, I think that what is happening here, we are very fortunate to be in this parampara, and if we somehow or other take advantage of it by doing some serious service for Krishna. If I had anything to do with the spiritual advancement myself, if I had any part to play in it, if it's not just the mercy alone, but if I had any part to play in it, then I can only say that part was that I was ready to work hard and to put the devotional service first. That I have done. I've worked hard with a lot of difficulty, taken difficulty for devotional service, even if I didn't like it, I did it. I ran away sometimes from some things, but I, after some time, not anymore. Then I took it. And didn't run away, and I just took whatever difficulties came. And so my request to you also is to take shelter of devotional service. Be serious about devotional service. It is our saving grace. And never feel that, oh, why do I have to do all the service? Like one person who gave me a lot of mercy was Jagadish Prabhu, who was also many years in Vrindavan as a GBC. And he said that in ISKCON 90% of the people do 10% of the work, and 10% of the people do 90% of the work. So I've always thought, I want to be with the 10%. I always thought like that. And I also request my disciples, let's be with the 10%. If you can, if possible. And so never think, oh, I got to do so much, and I'm so stressed out, I'm so overloaded, I'm so overburdened. Just know that may be so now, but that you get tremendous mercy from it. Tremendous mercy. So carry on. Just carry on. That mercy, Krishna will reciprocate. He will reciprocate. Okay, I don't want to start another lecture. So I think we should stop, otherwise we upset the whole schedule. So I thank you for the question. It's a very nice question, Pajuma. Because I know that you have thought more about the question than others, because you were with me and we have discussed it also over the last few months, and you have also extensively served Srila Jayadvaita Maharaj. But this was a really good question, because it's very relevant for all, and it's something I wanted to say. But who knows, in the busyness of the day, I might have forgotten. So, that was a great service. That was that question. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Srila Jayadvaita Maharaj.